can hear it on Long Island.
2-on-0, Jaime Roslovic, great save by Anderson.
Riley stayed onside. The late man Matthews, great move, what a goal. Beauty, Austin Matthews.
Matthews flipped it up for Marner. Mitch Marner centering, Hyman to the net, scores!
He took that down and his jockstrap is in the corner of the ring.
All right, here we go. The season opener edition of Not Another Leafs podcast on the Hockey Podcast Network. Ken Stapon joined by Brendan McCarthy after an electric Toronto Maple Leafs 5-4 overtime win over the Montreal Canadiens. And boy, oh boy, is first place in the Scotiabank North Division feeling sweet.
Man, I almost feel that having no fans for the Leafs is going to be like a blessing in disguise. I found it was a complete continuation of their series against Columbus, just their compete level in the dying moments. And it was a back and forth affair, man. I mean, the Montreal Canadiens played a heck of a hockey game. My God, they are going to cause so many headaches, and the Leafs are going to play them 9 more times. So, wow. What a contest to open the season.
Jesus. I was feeling for Austin Matthews and his lower back just getting nailed by those two lumberjacks in front of the net, Shea Weber and Ben Chiarot, who were just teeing off on this guy. I was like, oh my God, like he's going to have to do this 9 more times.
Well, he took a really bad collision with Josh Anderson. So I think he really took a blow to his hip or thigh. And then like the same shift, Kenny, I think he took that cross check from Weber in front of the net. That would probably be the equivalent of a barbell hitting your back. And he just looked, I thought he was going to leave the bench. I really did, but he managed to tough it out and got a huge, huge assist on the overtime winner.
Shea Weber is one flannel shirt away from being Paul Bunyan in front of the Habs net.
That's right. He is.
Like legit. Like I can't think of too many defensemen. Like I know the analytics say that his defense isn't that good, but nobody wants to go in front of the net when that guy's there, because he's just got the reputation of just being just a punishing player to play against. And you saw it firsthand for Austin Matthews tonight. And I thought a good job by him to fight through in front of the net all night. And like you said, 9 more matchups. So there's not going to be any love lost between these two groups by the end of the season. And Montreal, I thought, played an excellent game. I thought that they got out early on Toronto, a couple of penalties that got Toronto behind 3-1. And ultimately it was the Maple Leafs power play and some, you know, penalties on the Montreal side that ended up allowing the Maple Leafs to claw back into the game. So that was one of our three main takeaways as the Leafs poll that we threw up on our Twitter page at LeafsPod. Follow us on Twitter. As one of the three main takeaways from the game tonight, one of them was the power plays for both teams scoring 4 goals on the evening.
That was big. And I think, I mean, there's a handful of takeaways from this hockey game for me. And Nylander, the ridicule he took at the end of the season was monstrous, as we know. So for him to come back and really re-energize, or really just a continuation of what we've seen, you know, Nylander doing on a consistent basis, right? Obviously that the playoffs weren't that great, but he didn't let that affect him at all. And it's a continuation of what we know Nylander can do and what this team signed him for. And tonight was a good glimpse. And for him to get 2 goals and an assist is just going to be huge for his confidence. So that's the biggest takeaway.
No, and I agree. I think that Nylander jumping out to a hot start is extremely important for this team. I thought he was the best player on the ice tonight for the Toronto Maple Leafs. And, you know, he got that goal from a nice area of the ice. It's not necessarily this perimeter Willie, as people have called him in the past, where he just floats around. And he was finding space in the middle of the ice to make opportunities for himself and his teammates. And what a shot to beat Carey Price. I mean, this guy's got, when he gets time to cock it back and load it, is one of the best shots in the league.
It was a lethal shot.
It was really impressive to watch. I thought his game was dominant tonight. And that's good news for Toronto because they're going to need the big guns to be going, or at least some of the big guns to be going every night if they're going to be successful. So you get the two out of Nylander, you get the one goal out of John Tavares, and you get the game winner out of Morgan Riley. Those are certainly three of the horses that they're going to depend on moving down the stretch. Auston Matthews held off the score sheet for the first time in game one in his career, but did have a lot of opportunities. I believe by the end of the game, he had about 13 shot attempts. Is that correct?
I believe he's going to actually get the secondary assist on the overtime goal. So he will pick up a point for the fifth consecutive season.
Well, I was going to opener. Yeah, I was going to say mainly just scoring a goal.
But yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I guess. Yeah. He did find the score sheet though. Then if he did get the secondary assist on the late one, but this is exactly what the blueprint of this team is. They're top heavy and they rely on their top end talent. And for Tavares and Nylander and Riley all to score in this game bodes well for the Toronto Maple Leafs to get the confidence moving. And as they said, top first place in the North Division, they can feel pretty good about, you know, grinding back and fighting back to get a win tonight after going down 3-1 early in the second period.
It may not be like a giant takeaway from the game itself, but a noticeable point in the game was when Matthews and Marner were put out in a critical moment and 2 or 3 minutes left in the hockey game. That back, he just refused and was adamant on not doing that. And Keith, you can kind of see is changing that fast, and it's leading to better scoring opportunities for the Leafs. So that was a little nugget towards the end that generated more chances. I believe it was before the VC goal to tie the game. So obviously it led to a Maple Leafs goal and ultimately a win. So Keith is not afraid to play his big guns late. And it's completely the opposite of Babcock's scheme.
Well, I believe that Matthews and Marner both played the most of any player that's not named Morgan Riley tonight. Like Auston Matthews, 25 plus minutes. Mitch Marner, if I can find him on the score sheet here, 24:47. So that's number two and number three in the game. Morgan Riley led all players with 28:35. Shea Weber led the Habs with 24:13. So that shows you what Sheldon Keefe is expecting out of his big guns. You would have never seen those minutes with Mike Babcock behind the bench. I mean, Auston Matthews was struggling to get 18, 19 minutes a game. But if you're going to pay the big guys, and I thought about this tonight, I was like, I feel like I haven't seen Ilya Mikheyev, Kerfoot, or that third line really at all out there. Zach Hyman was getting some reps rotated through the top, but like, I wasn't sure if I just wasn't noticing them, which is kind of, I know it could be like the defensive, like what people always say about defensemen. If you don't notice them, that probably means that they're doing
that
their
was
job.
Exactly
it's when
it.
You do notice them, that that's a problem.
Exactly that. I did everything right tonight.
It was just kind of,
obviously I don't think they produce on the score sheet, but I thought they were really effective third line.
I thought it was fine. But then when you look at the minutes from the big guys, it's like, then it makes sense because obviously the ice time was down for everybody else. And Sheldon Keefe is going to ride his big horses. And that's what you have to do. If you're going to pay these guys 10.5, 11 exactly. million bucks, you have to ride them to the finish line.
And we were also saying how big of an acquisition Simmons will be in terms of just making this lineup tougher, stronger, you know, more pushback. And that was the turning point. As soon as he dropped the mitts and got in a scrap, he looked over at the bench. I think he was looking at the Leafs bench saying like, come on, let's go. Like, I don't think he was chirping the Habs bench, and that got them going.
No, it was certainly
the Leafs bench. Like, wake up here, let's go. So, and that clicked.
Yeah,
that provided a huge, huge spark. And he was that's a major takeaway from the game, just his physical presence and that something the Leafs will value going forward.
It's a veteran play too, right? Like understanding at that point in the game what your team needed, because there's a right time to fight and then there's a wrong time to fight. You know, when you're up by two goals, you know, Mark Bergevin and Claude Julien are probably not too happy with Ben Chiarot taking that fight with Wayne Simmons at that point in time. But for Simmons, a really smart time to drop the gloves. Your team sort of out of the game. They're a little bit flat-footed. And this is part of the reason that he was brought into Toronto. So it's making a statement to the organization that he's there to stand up for his players, for everybody that's wearing a blue shirt. It makes a statement to the rest of the Canadian division that if you're going to act that way, there's somebody to answer to now that wears the blue and white. And I thought it charged up the team. After that, it was like they, you know, the rest is history, as they say. They score two, get a couple power plays going their way. They score two, tie up the game at three, and eventually go on to win it in OT. I thought it was a tremendous time to fight for Simmons. And yeah, that's exactly what you want to see of that player at that point in the game.
I know it's early, and I will be objective here for both teams. I really thought Montreal's second line, Suzuki and Anderson, were phenomenal tonight. I think this is going to turn out to be one of Bergevin's best signings, best long-term signings. Josh Anderson, who missed last year, so it was a huge risk even to sign him long-term. He missed all of last year with a, I believe it was a shoulder injury. And now he comes back, he pots a pair in the season opener, and it looks like he hasn't missed a beat. So it, and I should mention, Josh Anderson, Burlington, Ontario native. So he is certainly loving how he got a pair against his hometown team.
Well, this is a guy as well that, you know, in the 2018-2019 season had 27 goals. So he's got that scoring touch. It's just last year he was injury plagued right from the beginning and snake bitten. Obviously Columbus, not the most offensive minded team. So that hinders you a little bit, but he just had a disappointing year. And obviously when you're signing a player that's coming off an injury like that, there is a certain amount of risk that the organization is accepting. And I thought he looked amazing tonight. I was so deceived by how fast he was. Because, you know, you talk about these traditional power forwards, they're going to beat you in the corner. They're going to use their body to sort of box people out. He was beating good. Like there was one where he took, you know, TJ Brody to the outside and basically beat him to the net, like almost turned him inside out. I was like, oh man, in an unreal game. Obviously, two goals for Anderson. He's going to have his confidence up. Mark Bergevin is going to look like a genius for making that signing, and it'll be up to Max Domi to prove him wrong by having a bigger season than Anderson does in Columbus than Anderson has in Montreal. But certainly the early payouts are paying dividends on that trade. And Nick Suzuki, you know, what else can you say about the kid? He looks like he's going to have a very promising and established NHL career. I really liked his play tonight. And this is, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that was the dividends that came back from trading Max Pacioretty to Vegas. So obviously the expectation when you're dishing your captain is you're going to get somebody, a piece that's going to really help you, a cornerstone piece for the future. Nick Suzuki looks exactly that, exactly the part for the Montreal Canadiens, and a pair of players that certainly will work into their success in the next two or three seasons.
I shouldn't say Anderson didn't play at all last season. You're right. He played 26 games, but production-wise, it was a disappointing year because of that injury. So it looks like he's by it now. And I think Suzuki's just going to keep growing. As you mentioned, Kenny, he had that phenomenal move over Riley. Riley has been on the receiving ends of some highlight reel goals, and that could have been easily highlight of the night. He undressed Riley, and oh my God. I believe they were down in that point of the game. So man, that Suzuki is going to be a really solid top six forward for the Canadiens this year.
What do you think of Jumbo Joe's first look in the blue and white?
Really good. I mean, it's going to be an adjustment. You could obviously tell the legs aren't there, but I thought he kept up with Matthews and Marner quite well, kept up with the pace of play quite well. And I think it's just going to be a continued progression transitioning with this young hockey team with Thornton. And obviously his minutes are going to be adjusted, and he might not spend his entire season with Matthews and Marner, but yeah, I think he eventually might be like, okay, I'm going to reduce your minutes a bit and slide you down to the third, and Kerfoot will play on the wing or something. But
well, he was doing that a little bit tonight. He was slotting in Zach Hyman back on that first line with Matthews and Marner. And yeah, I was getting a good laugh because they pointed it out once on the broadcast where he's kind of was pushing Austin Matthews along with his stick, like just giving him a poke in the ass. But then I just kept noticing him doing it like as the game went on. Every time Matthews would be like buzzing by him, he just put the stick right in his ass and just give him a push. I was like, is this something that they've talked about in practice or what's going on here? Is it just the savvy veteran move? You know, my legs aren't what they used to be, but my arms are still fine. So here you go, kid, go get them.
You can tell too, like, I mean, obviously there's a couple more vets that were acquired over the last 2 years too. And Spezza and Simmons had a chance early on. And you can tell Simmons still has the nifty hands. He just, the pace isn't always there. And you could tell he said a little word to Spezza after the fact on the bench. Just, I think he said something like, that's it. Like, I don't have enough energy after that stint out there.
Yeah, that's a no-fly zone at the end of the shift. Can't be can't be put leading the pass that much. Yeah, yeah. Maybe he peels back and becomes a trailer on the play rather. Zach Bogosian with a pair of penalties tonight, not necessarily the debut that you'd like to see out of the Stanley Cup champion last year with the Tampa Bay Lightning.
No, a lot of ill-advised plays, and Bogosian is going to look back on this game and it's going to be a W, but it's also going to be an L for him individually, because I thought he was the worst Leaf tonight. He took that errant hold that led to a Habs power play, which I believe they converted on, and really just sloppy. I thought he was kind of careless in his own zone. And again, there's a lot of guys. We've talked about the rotating door for the bottom pair, D pairings, and it's going to continue to be a rotating door. And I'm sure there'll be no problem on the Leafs management side to constantly change that. And a bunch of young guys in the pipeline, Lettinen and Sandin, both on the taxi squad. So it's going to be altering if his game doesn't keep up, or pick up, I should say.
I think this could have just been, you know, first game jitters. You know, you're playing at the new team, trying to make an impression. You know, obviously you don't want to, you know, you obviously don't want to take two penalties in your first game with the team in the home opener. And it's just, it just didn't look comfortable. It's a terrible, terrible outing for Bogosian. Call it what it is. But this guy's been in the league for a long time, I believe since 2002. Is that what you said earlier?
No, it's man.
Yeah, it was
just a complete swing and a miss. I went down looking.
I was like, I don't think that this guy's been in the league for 18 years. But no, I believe it was 2008 that we decided on. Regardless,
Thrashers took him. Yes,
he's been in the league for a long time. So I expect him to bounce back after this performance tonight. I wouldn't expect to see a repeat performance in the Maple Leafs next game, but clearly he can't be doing that, particularly against, or at really at any point in the season, but particularly against a power play that looked very good tonight. Montreal operating at two, or cashing in rather, on two of three attempts against the Toronto Maple Leafs, and that's not going to cut it as the season rolls along.
No, it's not. And yes, of course, it's game one. Maybe I'm a little heavy on his debut, but again, it's not like it's a rookie. It's not like he was injured last year. He won a cup. It should be quite a smooth transition. You're obviously going to a different team. You're playing not on an American team. I don't know. It's really, I don't cut him much slack, but I'd imagine we'll see a much smoother Bogosian in game two Friday.
What do you make of Frederik Andersen's game? Because, you know, letting in four, not necessarily the best, but he did come up with big saves on more than one occasion in this game that kept his team in the game, and a couple beauties in overtime.
I thought he was okay. I'd give him like a B minus tonight. He looked a little shaky at points. Obviously giving up four to the Montreal Canadiens is going to sting a little bit, because it's not a big flashy team. Right. And Andersen, I think, would like to have at least half of those goals back tonight. And it's not a sharp shooter or skillful shooter in front of you. So Andersen definitely needs to fine tune his game as well for game two. I thought he looked just okay.
It did enough to get it done for me. Anytime you give up four goals, that's going to end up with a lot of losses going the other way. I know the Leafs are a talented team that can dig you out, and a couple of the goals weren't necessarily his fault, as Toronto seemed to give up quite a few breakaways, we'll say, in this contest that were just free and clear one-on-one. So you can't blame him on every single one, but obviously four goals is not going to cut it moving into the meat of the regular season. Now I'll give him a pass tonight, because I think that for the goaltending position, this is one of the most difficult ones to simulate in a scrimmage and whatever it is. You don't have the pressure. You don't have, you know, you're maybe used to all of your teammates. You know, you sort of have that rapport going back and forth. You're seeing a lot of the same guys at practice, and then all of a sudden you get tossed into a game and there's a, you know, a player coming down on you on a breakaway that you aren't used to seeing all the time. So I agree with you. I think that probably there was a couple that he would have liked to have had back tonight, but he came up with the big saves when he needed them. And that's what the championship goaltenders do. is they'll let in a couple, but he slammed the door in OT and was able to give his team an opportunity to go down and score the game winner. And at the end of the day, he's 1-0. The Toronto Maple Leafs are 1-0, and they're atop the Scotiabank North Division.
And we're always talking about that 13th, 14th forward and who's going to get a shot to take out someone struggling in the bottom six. I thought Barabanov was excellent tonight. I mean, feisty guy. I believe he's 5'9", 5'10", but still like a big-bodied guy. You know, he's not afraid to block a shot or dive and block a shot. I believe he blocked the Petrie or Weber slap shot that led to a pretty big Simmons chance. And I thought he was just ferocious on, I don't even think he hit double digits in ice time, but you notice when he was out there, he can fly.
Well, this is the kind of player that you need in the bottom six of your lineup, is a player like Barabanov, who is willing to go in there. He's going to go into the corners, into the dirty areas, not afraid to take a hit, not afraid to give a hit, not afraid to dive in front of pucks, regardless of who's going to wind up and try to tee one up. So I thought it was a really nice game for Barabanov. Again, not a guy that was jumping out for me like during the game, but I thought there was a couple of nice plays that he had, particularly the blocked shot that you had just mentioned. And like we said before, for these bottom six guys, generally it's what you don't notice, or the less that you notice, the better game usually it means that they're having. I thought that a couple times they were able to, you know, generate some cycling of the puck down low in the offensive zone for the Toronto Maple Leafs, and hopefully they can continue to grow some chemistry as the season moves along. Let's go to the three stars.
And now it's time for the three stars.
Hey, thanks, Joe. The three stars, as made famous on Maple Leafs game night and made famous by every NHL game ever post game. Who do you got at number three?
Number three, I am going to go with Nick Suzuki. I thought he had an excellent game, some really crafty plays, found the back of the net, and he was Montreal's best player tonight. I'm going to give three Bs to Wayne Simmons, too, as he kind of sparked the Leafs comeback, but we'll say 3A was Suzuki.
I'm going to go with, I'm going to go with Morgan Riley for three. The game-winning goal tonight led the Toronto Maple Leafs and all players for that matter in ice time. It's going to be essential. He's able to continue that moving into the regular season, and I fully expect him to, alongside his new D partner, TJ Brody. And obviously with the game winner, that's good enough for me to solidify his position in the third star. Who do you have at number two?
I'm going to say Riley at number two. I thought he was the Leafs' best defenseman tonight. Obviously going to be playing hero, potting the OT winner, but also was just a horse defensively. He had that incredible defensive play. Montreal was on the fast break, dive, broke it up. Just great to see, and he deserves my number two.
I'm going with Josh Anderson at number two. I thought that he had an excellent, excellent game for the Montreal Canadiens. So impressive. I was so impressed with his bounce back after a disappointing year. New team. You know, there's a lot of pressure. And if you've watched Montreal Twitter at all over the last several weeks, everybody's been talking about how awesome this player is. Well, he looked awesome tonight. He completely fit the role. A pair of goals for Anderson, deceptive speed, big physicality. He's making Mark Bergevin look like a genius for picking him up in the exchange for Max Domi. A solid second star for me tonight.
Anyone watching? Well, not, I think everybody was watching the game tonight.
Every hockey fan was
tuning into the Leafs Habs tonight, but did Bergevin, I think he's lost a bit of weight, but he and Shanahan look similar. It's like uncanny. Did you notice that? Maybe it's the hair. Maybe it's the off-season changes, but my roommate brought it up and I was like, wait, I can't unsee that.
Maybe it's just because when you become one of the higher ups in one of these original six organizations, you slowly start to age 5 years for every year that you're in the organization. So both of them are just going to look like they're 80 years old in the next 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, they could just be brothers or at this point. I don't know. But numero uno,
same for Star. Bill Nye. Yeah, it has to be Nylander. You have anything else to add? I mean, two goals. I thought he had an outstanding game, the best Maple Leaf. We outlined it earlier. Like, he was absolutely unreal for Toronto tonight, and 3 points in the contest. A great start for him, and, you know, kudos, because he hasn't gotten out to necessarily the best start the past couple seasons. I think this is big for his confidence and big for the organization if he can get out to a hot start early.
Well, as I said before, this is a continuation of what he's done successfully on long stints with the Leafs, and the only really black cloud was the playoffs. And I think he's really going to bounce back effectively from that. I think this is just the beginning. It's early to get on a player train, but he looked really smooth, really, really smooth.
This is a side note, but since we're finished with the three stars, I saw this actually today on Twitter, so I'm just going to toss it out to you. Have you ever seen the series All or Nothing on Amazon Prime?
I have not.
Okay, so there's a bunch of them, but basically they're an inside look at the a professional organization. Like, they did the Tottenham Hotspurs, they did Manchester City, they did the Brazil football team. They've done a bunch of NFL teams. I believe they've done the Panthers, they've done the Eagles, and the Toronto Maple Leafs are going to be featured on that program for the upcoming season. Like, Amazon's making the documentary with the Leafs right now. And it's going to be unbelievable. I don't know if you haven't seen it, man. It's so awesome. Like, it's basically like the blueprint on steroids, because they're like 45 minute episodes. They're hour long episodes. There's like 10 episodes in a season, and you get to see the progression from start to finish. You get to see the practices. You get to see the coaching staff. You get to see them working with the trainers in the locker room. You get to see everything. It's crazy. I'm so excited that they're going to be featured.
That's sweet. And what an honor, really, to be chosen.
It is. And the Maple Leafs deserve it. I mean, they're one of the biggest NHL franchises. I think it's going to give the fans a really good look at what goes on behind the scenes from the presidential standpoint, Brendan Shanahan, from Kyle Dubas to the ownership at MLSE, Larry Tannenbaum. Now, I'm not certain how much they're going to want to be featured in the thing, as they usually like to have their meetings more behind closed doors, as it seems, but just an excellent, excellent opportunity for the fan base to get a good look at what goes on behind closed doors for this organization. And we can only hope for the fan base's sake that they take a little bit of a run, because it'd be so much better to watch what's going on if they can make a little bit of a deeper cut into the playoffs this year.
That'd be unbelievable. And we've kind of got like glimpses of it through the HBO specialty shows or those Winter Classic type dressing room behind the scenes. It's kind of like the equivalent to that.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. It just basically extended like every single game. So it's going to be absolutely unreal. All right. Look ahead now for the Maple Leafs, now that they got win number one in the column, albeit Google is still saying they're fifth in the North. So update Google, we're first in the Scotiabank North Division. A pair of matches against the Ottawa Senators this weekend, back-to-back Friday, Saturday. What are the expectations moving into those contests?
Well, it's going to be a similar style of approach for the Ottawa Senators. And they play a similar style game to the Canadiens. I think it's going to be high scoring once again. And, you know, Ottawa has also really given the Leafs headaches in the past. And typically season openers feature Leafs or Habs like tonight, or Leafs Sens. And it typically favors the opposition the Leafs are facing, quite frankly. I mean, tonight's game could have gone either way. Friday and Saturday, back-to-back against the same team. I mean, it's going to be like a playoff series. So I'd imagine Friday will especially be tight. And the Saturday night is probably going to be just as fiery and competitive.
I think this is an excellent opportunity for the Maple Leafs to secure 6 points right out of the gate. They got the hard ones tonight, I think, against the Montreal Canadiens, and it's been well documented that Ottawa is rebuilding. And as much as I love a lot of their young players, you know, I love Thomas Chabot, I love Brady Tkachuk, Timmy Stützle looks like he's going to be the real deal, but he has to prove they can do it at the NHL level, albeit I don't think he's going to have any issues contributing. I'm just not sure that he's a bona fide first-line winger at this point in his career in the first season. It remains to be seen. But this group is just not ready to compete at this point, or they're not expected to compete, I should say. I mean, tell Brady Tkachuk that this group isn't ready to compete. He was suggesting before the season that making the playoffs is a reasonable expectation for his group. And with Matt Murray between the pipes, it's who knows what you're going to get out of him. If he's playing in Stanley Cup form, then look out the rest of the North Division. But he struggled last year in Pittsburgh, obviously leading for him to get pushed out of town in favor of Tristan Jarry. So I think this is a real, real opportunity for Toronto to start off the season strong with three straight wins and then reset before a bout with Winnipeg in the following week.
It's really interesting too with these new division layouts, and there's going to be so much more familiarity. You're going to understand team style, team scheme, systems and everything. You're going to understand matchups, you know, center versus center, defensive matchups. It's really just going to be like a little round robin tournament, and you're only focusing on six other teams. So it makes the coach's life much easier to try and understand, or just kind of relaying the same message of what each team, you know, brings. And it's again, I'd like to think they get back-to-back wins and have 6 points when you wake up Sunday morning, but I think you're going to see a lot of pushback from Ottawa. I can see the Leafs getting one, but I don't think Ottawa's going to let them take the other.
No, well, they aren't going to roll over for sure, but no. I'm just suggesting that with the talent on this Leafs roster and what the expectations are this year, to get Ottawa twice out of the gate could be a really good opportunity for them to take advantage of what's a less talented franchise. Like, just call it what it is, you know, like the Senators.
They keep making these sneaky upgrades, and it's just kind of like, can you compete, or can you be like a sneaky, like lower seed?
I think they're going to be
pieces.
I think they're going to be as buried as everybody thinks they are. You know, like all the projections have them finishing seventh in the division. And I was talking today, I wouldn't be surprised if they can maybe bump up a spot and maybe be in sixth place or something like that. But it's not a surprise that everybody's picking them for seventh. Now, how far behind sixth they are is what the real question is going to be, because it seems like everybody's got the other six teams in Canada lumped into the potential playoff teams, and then Ottawa's out. So, but I would not be surprised at all at the end of the year if they're just, you know, 5 points, 6 points behind. It's not just going to be like they're buried in the basement like the Detroit Red Wings last year or something like that.
It's just automatic. Yeah.
They have three players competing for the NHL Masters all at, you know, minus 25 on the season or something.
Oh, atrocious. Absolutely atrocious. And now Dylan Larkin has to captain that team for the foreseeable future.
Quick jump around the league. The Philadelphia Flyers beat the Pittsburgh Penguins 6-3. Tampa Bay up 5-0 on Chicago with just a couple minutes left in the third. So certainly it looks like that one's going to be over. And then Vancouver, Edmonton, St. Louis, Colorado also in action tonight. So we'll see how those ones pan out as we move into the evening. Let's head to the library bar. So we haven't mixed this segment in the last couple pods, as we're going to try to sort of get a little bit of a bigger rotation for our segments, but you suggested that we had to bring it back for tonight because of a Toronto Raptors player who has been struggling. Who do you have at the library bar, BMAC?
Well, it has to go to Pascal Siakam, because it's just been back-to-back heartbreaks, iso ball, same situation. You got to think he's at some Tampa COVID-friendly bar or some amenities. I don't know. He's got to be having a bevy, because that was just soul-crushing. The back-to-back nights where give the ball to your star and he doesn't capitalize. So I'm going to say Pascal is at the library bar. I'm also going to say James Harden, but he is elated.
Oh, man.
James Harden is enjoying himself now.
Steve Nash, for me, is going to be at the library bar now that you mentioned it. Head coach of the Brooklyn Nets, as now he has to try to figure out how to manage three of the biggest personalities in the NBA, Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, and James Harden, three ball dominant players. Steve Nash is going to be sitting there drinking a Maker's Mark Manhattan, trying to figure out how he's going to manage these three personalities and where, and maybe he can talk to the referees and he can get three balls on the court at the same time, because that's the only way that these three guys are going to be happy, if they're all on the court at the same time. I really think this is going to be such a big disaster for Brooklyn. Like, it's going to be a nightmare.
I just don't think they'll play Harden and Kyrie together ever. It's gonna
One of them's gonna come off the bench.
They're gonna try and
form, what are you gonna do?
They're gonna try and form the familiarity from the OKC 2011-2012 days with Durant and Harden, and I think it's gonna mesh well instantly. And they'll just kind of like dabble in Irving a little bit with Harden, but they're not gonna, because I feel like those two out of the three would butt heads the most, and Nash is gonna limit that and only play them together. Modified minutes.
I think that Kyrie Irving isn't even with the team as well right now.
Yeah. He's like, he peaced out.
I don't know exactly what was going on, but I'm pretty sure that he just like is super pissed off that the Nets hired Steve Nash and he's like, they're butting heads. And so he just basically just was like, screw this, I'm out of here.
You hear Steve
nobody knows where he is or like what's going on. No, I didn't hear it. Enlighten
me. Stephen A was like, Kyrie Irving should retire. He should retire from the game of basketball. I'm like, what? He opened that today, and the Twitter world was just freaking out. And I just think it's Kyrie being Kyrie. He's a inquisitive dude, and he has some opinions that I feel like he just wants to get a rouse out of people. He doesn't always really mean it, I feel. And obviously, he's one of the greatest players in the NBA. I don't think he's done.
He's not done. He's just done with dealing with other people, I think. He's not a good teammate. He's not good in the locker room. So I think that's where Stephen A is coming from. It's just like, get the hell out of here then.
Yeah, Nash is just putting it to bed as best as he can. But now he's got to deal with another big personality, as you said. So... incoming.
Let's move to around the league. So did a quick little around the league before, but let's actually get into a couple of the stories. The Flyers over the Penguins, 6-3, as mentioned before. I don't know if you saw this story today, but Tortorella basically just absolutely roasted your boy Pierre-Luc Dubois. Like, to the media, they were asking him about what the situation is. And he was basically, Torts was just like, yeah, he wants out. Like, we're trying to figure it out. Next question. I just didn't shield him at all. And Chris Johnson was saying in the pregame show on Sportsnet that he reached out to the agents and the agent didn't really have a comment because he didn't want to throw any more fuel on the fire. Your boy Tortorella, just a veteran coach.
Torts, man.
He's just a veteran coach. Usually the players have the leverage in these negotiations, but this time it was a veteran coach against a younger player who just like basically just completely torched him.
I wish more coaches were like that. It's great. It's great for sound bites. It's great for post game. We need more of it.
Mark Stone named the captain of the Vegas Golden Knights. No surprises there, right?
No surprises there. It feels like every guy who leaves Ottawa just becomes instantly better. And one of them is Mark Stone.
Goodness.
to pick an easy one. That's an exception. You're right. But Mark Stone, man, what a stud. And again, here's another gem who went, fifth round. I say fifth draft.
Yeah, you're absolutely in one today.
No, fifth round, like I don't know, 2012 or something, and he's just really taken over this league. And now, as a guy who wasn't even in a top 10, gets to captain a team, top 10 in the draft. I mean, it's incredible, and he's earned it.
He certainly has, and one of the best defensive forwards in the game. He's been well touted for his defensive ability, but also a lot of offensive pedigree as well. I believe he led the Vegas Golden Knights in playoff scoring last year during their run, and expect him more of the same from him moving into this season as he continues to sharpen up his offensive game as well. So just a really good guy on and off the ice, glue guy in the locker room. No surprises here. No surprises that he's named the captain, and well-deserving. And another guy named the captain, your boy, Dylan Larkin, named captain of the Red Wings. I don't know. I've just been saying your boy a lot. I think I've been picked.
No, you've always nailed it. I've never had it. Like, I will correct you. Like, no, it's not my boy. Like, I like it. Mikheyev. Like, you said when we're actually clicks, but Dylan Larkin, we can't associate the two. But yes, congrats.
Yeah, Dylan. Okay, Dylan Larkin, not your boy, but no surprise there either, right?
Stinks. I feel bad for him, but it's an honor given the history of the Detroit Red Wings. But man, that guy's career is just getting steward. I don't know. There's nothing promising. Like, there's not a piece other than Larkin that is promising. I really, it's a great honor, but it obviously isn't the same effect as Stones in Vegas, right? Like, there just doesn't seem to be any hope for that franchise in the Red Wings.
No, he's the franchise piece for certain. And I think the biggest hope that they have is now that they have Stevie Y at the helm after what he was able to build in Tampa Bay. But Rome wasn't built in a day, and it's going to take some time to sort out the mess that was the Detroit Red Wings after Ken Holland left. Just a ton of terrible contracts that they had to kind of just wait out and really start fresh with, like you said, not a whole ton of pieces there that are really worthwhile to anybody else in the league.
No, and a lot of guys who are aging incredibly fast in the league, like Vilppula, just terrible AAVs, and yeah, a lot of really crappy contracts that it really are hard to move, and it's a tough spot for given the skill level of Larkin.
Just to update the poll here after it's been up for a little while here, what was the main takeaway from tonight's Maple Leafs game? Bill Nye with 2 goals, Simmons coming as advertised, 4 power plays in the game. Right now, Bill Nye with a pair of goals leads at just shy of 50%. Wayne Simmons coming in as advertised at just over 37%, and 4 power plays in the goal in the game. People less enthused about that, just over 10%. So people aren't that excited about the fact that Montreal's power play contributing just as much as the Toronto Maple Leafs power play did tonight.
And our boy Richard Blosser at rbloss64. Morgan Riley, I think he needs to edit that because it's just a complete butchering of Riley's surname.
wait, hold on. Let's go to the tweet of the day.
Yes, let's do that.
Okay, and now okay, now go ahead. Oh God.
And your tweet of the day, ladies and gentlemen, Richard Blosser.
Oh, no.
Anyway, this guy, great, great guy, I'm sure. Leaf fan, host of the Grit.
That's definitely the criteria. Podcast. Great, great guy, Leaf fan.
Great contributor, gets it done. Morgan Rilley has ended the game. Good night, Canada.
I didn't even notice they spelled it wrong when I retweeted that, actually.
The amount of times, and Mike Riley, a defenseman, I don't think he even is part of the Canadiens organization anymore, but the amount of times when the Leafs and Habs are playing each other and they get that mixed up, the spelling, it's like Morgan Rilley scores, the E first, and then, you know, it's I first, R-I-E, and you know the rest.
Yeah, I've done that more than once. It just seems like the E should come before the I, but then I remember my grammar training in middle school, I before E, except after C. So there's no C in Riley. Yes. So that should make me remember that R-I-E-L-L-Y. My tweet of the day is from James Myrtle. 14 shots attempted for Austin Matthews tonight in more than 25 minutes, assisted on the OT winner, 13 faceoff wins, sometime on the PK. Not bad. So basically just a summary of Austin Matthews' box score, but I thought a really impressive contest for Austin Matthews tonight, despite only finding one assist on the score sheet. And as we stated before, the big guys are going to need to be rolling. And I thought that Matthews was certainly played that part tonight for the team.
And one last thing too, what's really noticeable too is Montreal stamina. In terms of their skill, I'll say their skill stamina could not pick up with the Leafs mid-second onward. But they will always wear you down in the physical aspect of that. A great wear and tear team, but there's going to be a point. I was saying to Spencer, my roommate, there's a point in the game where they're just going to fall flat and rely on Price. and the Leafs top guns are going to be their top guns, as they should, because they make monstrous money. So again, a really, really hard fought game from the Canadians to get four on the Maple Leafs, which I never thought I'd say is big, considering the talent they possess and the caliber goalie in Anderson. It was a great game. It was a great game to kick off this season, man.
Final thought, I think it's kind of a wasted opportunity for Montreal. I thought that they had a good chance to jump out ahead of Toronto in the division. Scoring four goals is not going to come easily for this team because they don't have the top end talent. They got depth out the yin-yang. They probably have four, second or third lines. Like even the fourth line is expected to be a difference maker, but they don't have the top end scoring. And that's going to be really difficult for this team down the stretch is, if you end up in a lot of, 2-1, 3-2 games and you're just losing those because you don't have the top ends. Now, do I think that this team still has enough to get it done? I do. But I don't think that there's going to be too many opportunities where you're going to be seeing this team putting up a 4 or 5 spot on the opposition. And when they do, the expectation will be that their defense and Carey Price can keep less than 4 out of their own net so they can get the W, and they weren't able to do that tonight.
But at the end of the day, it's a 5-4 dub and 2 points in the win column, Kenneth.
It's a 5-4 Maple Leafs win over the Montreal Canadiens in the season opener for the 2021 NHL season. A pair of games on the docket this weekend against the Ottawa Senators on Friday and Saturday, the back-to-back. We'll re-record on Sunday for the new episode released on Monday. Thanks for listening to this episode of Leafs Pod on the Hockey Podcast Network. Good night, Maple Leaf fans. First place in the Scotiabank North Division.